cool. Hey guys, I am off this week. Just have to take care of some like packing and prepping for my return to California in a couple weeks. And so in the meantime, I am going to put up my interview with Android. This was done the day of the World Cup final, and it was before I had done some format stuff, before I had introduced music and really set up the podcast as it is now, but we do still have a good discussion. We talk about the World Cup a little bit because it's obviously on both of our minds. But we talk about what is probably the most important part of the episode, understanding the expectations of others as it relates to our brothers. You know, both he and I have brothers who are like considerably successful and accomplished. And understanding that we are not those people, and that even if people expect us to live up to those expectations, we don't have to. This is ranting. Hey guys, I'm taking the week off this week. I'm just doing a little bit of packing and more preparation for my return to California in a few weeks here. So in the meantime, I'm actually not going to be leaving the podcast empty for the week. I'll be uploading my interview with Android. I did this interview before I had really established a style, before I had brought out the music, and the way it currently exists, I had intended to maybe transcribe it and upload it, but kind of decided against it. So this was done the day of the World Cup final, and so the first topic that comes up is obviously the World Cup. He had been following Sweden obviously very closely, and so we talk about the Swedish matches a few times or a little bit, and we move on to kind of expectations that are set on us by others, just in relation or in context to the accomplishments of, in both of our cases, our older brothers. And you know, if you listen, you'll get a good sense of what we talk about. And then he talks about the future of Melee and kind of his expectations for himself moving forward in the game. It was a really fun conversation, and I really hope you guys enjoy.
All right. Perfect. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. How about you guys?
Pretty good. Had to wake up I woke up so early today.
To see the match?
Yeah, I had to wait because I woke up at 7 to get to a friend's place by 8 so I could watch the Wimbledon finals. And then from there, we went and watched the World Cup finals. So.
I see.
Oh, God, I've already gotten my sports in. I felt like an alcoholic drinking. I had 2 beers by like 10:30. It's like, all right, great. Halfway there.
Sick.
So, yeah. Brief introduction for audio purposes. This is going to be the first episode of Mind Games Plus, where I basically have one-on-one interviews with friends and colleagues and talk about various things. So, as you can tell, we're talking about the World Cup that basically just finished. That's gonna be the entire start of our conversation, because this has been a wild one.
All right.
But yeah, let's just hop into it. So, in terms of World Cup, holy Lord Almighty, this World Cup.
It's been kind of interesting, World Cup indeed, with some upsets and stuff.
Let me pull up the pools again. Like, everyone that we expected to go far did not go far. You know, Germany got knocked out in the pools, which made me really happy.
When we were at
Smash and Splash, Amsa and I had a conversation where we were just like, yeah, we hate watching Germany play, because Germany just they beat everyone, and they're just too good. So to see them lose was so good.
Wait, what? Are they? Well, they are a top contender for sure, but I have never felt like they are superior. Like, they're way better than any other teams. I never felt they have been that good.
Especially at the 14 World Cup, felt like I was watching a bunch of robots play soccer. I was just so blown away by how precise everything they did was. So
I see. Yeah, and they got last. Like, they got fourth.
Thank God for Korea on that one. That was great. I was 2 goals in the last in extra time. Just the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, that was a pretty. But that's the thing with like these round robin pools when there's 4 people, and they basically play best of 1, and
yeah.
it can go either way basically.
Oh, yeah.
The round before, the last round, or the second round, basically, then, like, it was very close between Sweden and Mexico and Germany. And even if Germany had won their 2 first matches, there were no guarantee whatsoever they would, like, advance to the next round or to the brackets.
Right.
And then this magical happened, and Sweden got first seed. But we were, like, I think we were... Yeah, we were third.
Yeah, you came into a 3rd seed in that pool.
Yeah, we did. And we were in the spot, number 3. So it was like, at the moment, we were not able to advance to the brackets.
Yeah.
But then Germany lost, and we beat Mexico. So from Group F, it was a pretty damn upset that Germany didn't make it. But
yeah.
Also... Yeah, with best of 1 and like 3 rounds where everyone faces each other, it's like it can go either way.
I mean, it's weird because Germany definitely played better than Mexico in their match, but that doesn't make a difference if it is round robin. I like round robin for sports stuff. I don't think it works as well for Smash, but for sports, I think it's great.
It can work in Melee. From a Smash, I think it works, sort of. But, yeah, it's definitely like, after, when we are competing and we have our rule sets And we have created these rule sets because we believe this is the best way to do it, basically. And I agree on that. But even though this might be the better option, the better one for like football or soccer, it's always like, damn, this kid still, like, these guys could still lose, right? Because yeah, one loss is so crucial. Like, you basically have to win every single one to secure. If you lose one, then it's a huge risk that you are out. So
I mean, that's how it played out in, and it, I think at least three of the pools were go. So yeah, definitely in Group F. Group F was a wild one.
That's because, well, that's because I remember it so well, because I was mainly focused on that group.
Oh yeah.
But like Group A, can you see them all? Like the pools?
Yeah, so Uruguay, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt. I think so. Uruguay, Russia came through, and that's pretty much expected.
Yeah, they do. Spain, and it's like, oh, it doesn't seem to be like, how would you put, like, it was pretty convincing, right? Mm-hmm. Like Russia, they seems to lose only to Uruguay, which won all their matches.
Right.
Spain and Portugal seem to be evenish. I think they were. Portugal might be. I don't have the seeding.
I don't have. Yeah, I don't have the original seeding, but if memory serves, I think Portugal was above Spain.
They were.
And, yeah. And then Iran, Morocco.
Exactly. I have seen the seeding before, and I got a little bit surprised that Spain was second seed, but they were the highest second seed.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what Portugal were. But they have a weird system that I haven't actually learned how the whole thing works.
Yeah. I have the seeding. It's on Wikipedia. So yeah, Group B was Portugal, Spain, Morocco, Iran. C was France, Australia, Peru, Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
Then Argentina, Iceland, Croatia, Nigeria, and we'll talk about Croatia in a sec.
Yeah.
Group E, Brazil, Switzerland, Costa Rica, Serbia. Then F, Germany, Mexico, Sweden, South Korea, Belgium, Panama, Tunisia. England was the fourth seed in their group.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
They must have been second seed.
No. Belgium, Panama, Tunisia, England. England was the fourth seed in that group.
What?
Yeah, just look up 2018 FIFA World Cup seeding. It'll pop right up.
Doesn't it says pot two? Like pot one is the first seed?
No, scroll down. The final draw.
Yeah, but the order doesn't necessarily have to be the seeding.
I mean, most of the seeding set. Oh, I think you're right.
Because Uruguay was then fourth seed and then got first seed, for example.
Let me see.
Because it would make much more sense if in pot one you could see Germany, who won the cup World Cup last year, Brazil, Portugal, Argentina, Belgium, Poland, France. They're all very good team for sure.
Yeah, you're right. I was going to say that I was a little, like, the rest of the seating up there outside of Group A seemed right. And I was like, okay, that sounds valid. And then England fourth seed, I'm like, hold on. So yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So, but other
still, Croatia was in
Group D,
and they were seeded. Where are you, Croatia?
Croatia was last second seed or worst second seed.
Yeah.
According to Wikipedia. So, but they came out of top with like three wins.
I think the thing in terms of the World Cup this year that blew my mind was France got to the final so quietly. It felt like there was so much else going on, upsets and PKs, that France was just doing it. They're like, all right, we'll see you guys in the finals. Just meet us there.
Yeah, if you're looking from Croatia's point of view, so we're starting out with how they did here. So Croatia,
they beat Argentina, Nigeria, and Iceland in pools.
Yeah, that's they did that. That's
it was convincing.
Frio Argentina, it's upset for sure. Nigeria and Iceland, it's not an upset, but it's like a solid wins for sure.
Yep.
For me, at least, when I look at it with like the numbers and stuff, they came out of top with like a solid performance. But then in bracket, it seems to have a hard time. They were choking, basically, I would say. I watched most of the matches, most team played. Some of them I missed. But overall, if you look from Croatia and France, the two teams that maybe made all the way to finals, you could see that France, they were like convincing with the winning, the score.
Oh, yeah.
Some matches, a lot, some less. But they seem to have a better control. Croatia, however, were like evenish. They won on the penalty kicks at the very end. It was like very close. So it felt more like they had an upset. Like they had the run almost.
Oh, yeah. No,
the run until the very end.
Until the very end, no. They definitely had such an incredible run for this. I mean, this is the best Croatia has ever done at the World Cup.
Yeah, so, that's true. So that's a pretty big for Croatia. And especially when they were, worst second seed, according to this the whole seeding. And they met France, who were the worst first seeding, according to this one. So kind of interesting, for sure.
I mean, there are a lot of storylines here, because Sweden did the best it's done since, what, 98?
It's like, I have heard that number before, but yeah, it might be something. Wait, there were some year. Actually, I have totally almost forgot here. But I think it's like,
let me see.
Yeah, double check, I think.
The internet is incredible. Let me see. So in 94, they got third place.
Yeah, and so, that was in US.
Yeah, and that was the best one. Wow. So yeah.
And this is Sweden, the best performance since then.
Right. So Sweden with its best performance since 94. Belgium with its best performance of all time. Croatia with its best performance of all time. France winning with a very young team.
That's true. This is like, the second time they won out of all time. Like, they haven't won once before. And right. Now it's, as like you said, with a very young team, like Mbappé and a few others. So it was a very good performance. So it was cool to see. It was cool to see the team with a lot of new upcomers.
I saw a statistic this morning from 538, which is an American league. They do sports statistics and politics statistics. They do everything. But the contract for every starter on France The combined value of that is higher than every other team at the World Cup. And the bench is more expensive than the starters of two-thirds of all the teams. The bench is so... That bench is better than most national teams.
In France?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I heard they're... No, I have actually haven't paid too much attention for where all these players are currently playing, such as Barcelona or Real Madrid or something like that. But I think a couple of them were from Real Madrid, if I remember correctly. Don't quote me on that. But it's actually a really, it's a fantastic performance overall. I was happy to see watch your finals.
And the finals performance, outside of the own goal, which is always just the worst. That was a good first goal.
But that's a hard one though. Yes, it was own goal, but if he hadn't done it, it might have kept going.
Yeah.
So I feel there is plenty of worse own goals you can make. That wasn't too big of a deal. It would have been more if you accidentally scored. I think there was, now when I think about it.
I mean, he headed it, and there were three or four people all there, so.
Yeah. But I remember, for example, when Sweden played against Switzerland, one of the players called Forsberg, he tried to score, and it was actually going like right to the goalkeeper. Like, so it wouldn't have been that hard for him. So he was ready to catch it. It was like straightforward. And then all of a sudden, one of the Switzerland player accidentally hit the ball and it changed its course. So the goalkeeper wouldn't be able to catch it now. And that's just like way worse own goal, basically.
Yeah.
But it's never a good feeling.
No, not at all.
And it was a bad start for Croatia.
But they had it tied up for a good while, and they had control of the ball for well over half of the first half. They had 61% control for the first half. So,
when I was watching it with some of my friends, I paid attention, and they had a lot of control, like you say, with the ball, like the pass back and forth, and they find some opening. But even when they found those openings, they couldn't really finish it off with trying to score. It was like they were waiting for something to happen, or they were hoping that something would happen, such as like they would accidentally give an opportunity or give them like somewhere to shoot, when the France were basically had a good defense and were waiting. So I think overall that Croatia did well, but then after when they got this penalty kick as well, so not only was it an own goal, and now they also had a penalty kick against them after one of the players accidentally
smacked it.
Yeah, so at this point, it's pretty annoying because, well, I guess you could see it in a way of like they have still, France have still not scored, like made their own score, like, you know, the typical of shooting the ball. They have been like basically, someone accidentally hit the, make the own goal, and the other one was penalty kick, which is pretty much a 90-10 matchup.
Yep.
So, and after that, I felt it's like, they kind of lost momentum there.
I mean, and then for them to just, it was within, 4 or 5 minutes, those two goals at the end, right?
Yeah. That was kind of interesting because France didn't have as much like chances or opportunities to be on their side, but once they got him, like, it was not as many, I think. But once they had a chance, they took it and got it.
Yep.
They were more, they were better. Even though they didn't have the ball as much, they were much better to finish it off and actually score, which is so important. So, yeah. And I felt like after that, it was pretty rough to come back. But then Croatia managed to get this goal when the goalkeeper, I'm not sure what the goalkeeper were thinking. If you remember that part.
Yeah, he just like steps away. He just gives them the goal, basically.
Yeah, that's, there was no reason to step to his left, which was the wrong way. He could have done anything, shooting entirely away, maybe shoot past to one of them on the right side, or just shoot whatever, basically, because there was basically nothing good on the left side. It was shoot straight forward or to right. But instead, he made this sidestep to the left. I will never understand how. He has to make, it was probably a brain fart or something.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, I guess. And
blackout. Yeah.
He was too tired. He just couldn't handle these long, long games. So wait, you said you watched the game with some friends?
Yeah.
Were you with Adam?
No, I was with a few other friends. I actually saw Adam yesterday and a few days ago. We have had a boot camp, so I think he met up with a few other friends and watched the match with them, basically.
No, you weren't playing with Adam and William earlier.
No, we had this boot camp and we were playing 3 days straight.
Yeah.
So this is the first day. Well, the boot camp is over today, basically.
Yeah.
And he's leaving in like one. Yeah, I think it's Tuesday. Yeah. So
he'll
probably like pack and spend his time with his girlfriend. And like,
right.
Try to chill a little bit before he's leaving.
For sure. So, I guess in terms of the boot camp, we'll kind of get away from soccer.
Yeah.
How in, you know, the boot camp is interesting. You're not going to Smash Factor, correct?
No, I'm not going to Smash Factor. But Adam is.
Yeah, but you are going to Low Tier City.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, like, because you guys are static doubles partners, how is that practice? Because I'm assuming when you're playing, it's like the two of you versus, you know, in with the boot camp, it was what, Leffen and Pipsqueak, right?
Yeah. So it was the four of us who were playing. Yeah.
And so when you're doing that boot camping, what's going on in your head in terms of like prepping for doubles?
It was actually only singles this time. Doubles it's because mainly that none of Leffen doesn't participate in doubles, and he hasn't been doing that if it's not tournaments such as Summit, which is like an invited and everyone has to play doubles, or maybe he had made some progress with a friend or so, but he hasn't really been playing doubles since Royal Flush last year.
I guess I haven't seen him play doubles because I was so used to seeing it as him and Ice, but I guess I haven't seen like Leffen and Ice in a while.
Yeah, no, that was their last the time. Like, it was the last tournament they played together. So, yeah. but he also focusing on Dragon Balls, which makes it hard for him to catch up with doubles as well.
For sure.
Yeah, so and Pipsqueak is an upcoming player. He shows a lot of interest and he practiced a lot and he wanna show that he wants to become a really good player basically. So it was a good choice to have him at the boot camp, and we were playing 3 days straight with a lot of melee. And what goes through my head was basically this time I had a little bit different approach. Mostly, I usually think of like what I should do and paying attention to what I'm getting hit or what is happening, such as maybe I'm getting stuck in this situation or I'm losing to this move. But now this time, it was actually to just gain my movements back, because this boot camp was very important for me to get my game. Like, basically, I couldn't really move properly, and I couldn't really do all the things I wanted to do with, like, combos and stuff. There was a bunch of time I missed stuff. I was full jumping a little bit here and there. The short hop was a little bit strange. I missed a lot of ledge dash. Tech chasing were awful. It was basically going back to square one. So my main focus was to gain my movement and everything back so I can do all those things I wanted to do. And I feel this boot camp helped me a lot. So I'm still in practice, and I will keep practice. But I believe I will be back in shape before low tier city by the very mean.
Good to hear. Nah, because, you know, I think everyone's starting to get used to you as just a doubles partner. Like, no, hold on. Hold your goddamn horses. he'll wash you in singles too. He's not gonna wash his brother, and I think that's a little bit of camaraderie as well as brotherhood.
Yeah. Well, I guess my performances have been really good in doubles. Well, they have been much better in doubles. And I honestly believe I'm much better than doubles because a lot of times I believe the way I think and my strategies and the way I think in overall is very different from most people. And Adam is one of them that understand me really well. And he understands what I'm saying or what I'm trying to say, which makes it easy for us to have this synergy and like our plan and execute them all. And I feel like we together are really strong for that reason. He has the skills, all that. He's overall a really good player, but I mean, I also have my strength, and I think it works really well because it would probably work well with others, but Adam is one of the few that totally understand what I'm saying. So it makes it even more easier for us to do what we want to do.
I mean, do you think that's because you are brothers, you grew up together, and you just kind of understand how each other thinks?
I think it is a huge impact. Yeah, definitely. If we weren't brothers, I guess it would have been harder. It's too hard to say in a timeline when we were not brothers, because then it would have been a totally different life for both of us.
Right.
But it definitely helps because we were very close when we were kids. We were very close and we did most of the things together. So I think, yeah, it's definitely helped a lot, and to communicate. And we also have been playing against each other, so the play style, the characters, we know what the other one want to do, and like we kind of communicate within the game. Like my movement, he can see what I want to do by what I'm doing at the moment. So it's not like I'm telling him sometimes I can't tell it, but most of the time it's like he see what I do, and I know if I get this, he will respond to this. So a lot of those things is like we unconsciously know what the other one is gonna do, like telekinesis or something like that.
I mean, and it, you know, whenever people talk about static doubles partners, pretty much the consistent top two are gonna be you and Adam and PewFat. And I think that PewFat is like as close as you can get to, like, those guys. They act like actual brothers. Like, they grew up together, like, they've shared a lot. And I think that does help them in the same way it helps you and Adam.
Yeah, no, definitely. They are probably one of the few teams that I've ever seen that actually have this synergy. One of the few teams that actually, it's like they trust more in the other one and like fighting for the other one rather than themselves, basically. I feel this connection they have is similar to us, and I think that's mainly why we are the top two teams, Alliance and CLG, at the moment.
After doubles, when we set up an interview with Pew Pew and SFAT at Smash and Splash, that was kind of one of the things that they were saying. Like, you know, Kevin was making it pretty clear that he's like, you know, I know when I have to just kind of sit back and trust that Zach's going to do the right thing. And I think that just understanding of trust between the two of them makes such a huge difference.
It definitely opens up different opportunities. Because if you trust your teammate, what he's going to do, you could probably position yourself where not the opponents are currently, but where he will be within the few seconds. I think you can see that pretty clearly sometimes when we are playing Sheik and Peach. That I know sometimes, for example, that when we team combos or something like that, that Adam, he won't be able to catch them. But sure, I make sure that I hit them at the very, very end to like make sure that he get as much time as he can to position himself in order to land the last hit to kill them. Or other times it could be like with team comboing, but he won't catch them because he's too slow. But I will take that part because Sheik is pretty good of catching. Maybe we say if they are on this stage, laying on the stage and trying to roll away, and they're trying to get away from Peach, then I'm paying attention to that, and sometimes I'm running across the stage to catch him because I know that they are trying to escape. But even though Adam won't be able to take him, I know I can. And if they're trying to go the other way, it's easier for Peach because they might be closer to her, basically. So it's like we're positioning ourselves good and waiting for the other one to be ready. I think that's playing a huge part with like knowing the other one.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get a doubles team that has the same synergy that I think, you know, the audience can feel it when they're watching that you guys are very in tune with each other. And I, like I said, there are not many doubles teams that can do that.
No, I think especially, it gets pretty important for our, like, Sheik and Peach are a good team, but they kind of rely on getting those team combos. Like, otherwise, can be hard to win sets if you not have this synergy. Not maybe this synergy we have, but team combos are very necessary to wreck advantage and get the KO. But yeah, so I guess with like the whole thing, it's like we're brothers and we're coming from Sweden. They have known Adam Armada for a long time. And for me, I haven't been in US for as long. But I got like introduced as his brother, and now I actually want to say like since I picked up by Lions, I got picked up by Lions, they have seen me more, like me more as my own player, even though I guess some people might see me as I am his shadow.
Are you literally reading my document? Because my document, my next thing to say was, you know, in terms of doubles, you guys obviously have your strength, but you know, what are your ideas, your aspirations moving forward as Android, not as Armada's brother, but as Android going and playing singles and stuff. You are literally reading my mind.
What can I say? Like, Nilly has always been up and down. It has helped me a lot in many ways. Like, I got so much memories and stuff. And I guess it was hard to keep up with the momentum by being motivated to play Melee. Doubles have always been more fun to me. So I guess that have been shown a little bit more clear to the people that my performance in doubles are better for that reason. But I have actually enjoyed more singles lately. And sometimes I guess I haven't been good enough to perform on my own, I guess. I guess switching back and forth between the verses have been an issue for me, even though it's not as big of an issue. But singles and doubles are also two different categories. It's not the same. Even though it's the same game, we're playing Melee, obviously, but doubles and singles are two different things. And I think people have noticed, or they understand, that doubles and singles are two different things. And you might be better in one of them, but maybe not good in the other one. Or you can be awesome in both. But at the end of the day, it's hard. It's hard to keep up with the Armada, definitely. He's not a guy that's easy to beat.
I mean, you know, it's and we were talking about this a couple of days ago, but you and I have that in common, where it's weird being the little brother of someone who is pretty successful, pretty well known. And so it's hard to kind of carve out that spot for yourself, you know?
Yeah. Keep going.
I was gonna say, you know, it's something that I think both of us are doing, and that's power to us, because we are not defined by our brothers; we are defined by what we do.
Yeah, that's true, and I agree on that. It's actually, I guess, it's hard, because a lot of time people come up to me and they're like, They talk a lot about Armada. And I guess, like, for me, it's got to hit, like, how could I? So I would say that it's hard to focusing on singles, I guess. It's like, Okay. Honestly, I do support him to 110%. It's hard when people compare us too much. And maybe so he has easier time. Or maybe he has easier time with the game. And that's why he's better than me. But I guess at the end of the day, we are trying to get better.
Of course.
And yeah. I actually don't have a good answer to this. Like, I've been trying to... If you could rewrite the question again, I guess I will try to get a better answer.
I mean, I think the point to be made is that, you know, as long as we keep doing our own thing and putting our 100% into what we do, we can both be supportive of our brothers and still have our own, you know, name for people to come and recognize us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
How often do you go to tournaments without Armada?
I guess at those tournaments, I guess it's more and more that it's become more that we are two different persons, even though we are very close and this brother thing. And that seems to be a thing that people have found interesting to support, like the whole brotherhood thing and the brothers. It's some kind of a different name for us than like UGS used to be a thing, but now it's the brothers and alliance. I guess what you just said about we're trying our best and we can be supportive is our plan, basically.
Yeah.
But those tournaments I go to are usually those tournaments Adam goes as well. We usually travel together as well. For the most part, it's few tournaments such as maybe Summit, perhaps, where he's invited and I'm not invited. Then he travels on his own. But I guess if not, then I have been a few tournaments now. Actually, this year, then it was one in Gothenburg. But then it was the Invitational for Smash Ultimate. He was so, and I was here in Gothenburg, and then it was a tournament. So that's one of them where he weren't there, basically. So, but most part, yes, we always travel together and competing in the same tournament.
I mean, you should come. I think it's the weekend after Hair. No, 2 weeks after Hair. There's a tournament here that Hax and I want to say Lucky are coming to. It's the longest running Smash tournament in the world.
This summer is going to be pretty.
You can solo travel. Come to the U.S. I will personally take care of you.
That would have been great. Honestly, though, so now it's basically, so 1 week from now, I will get myself ready, pack, basically get my clothes down in my luggage, and, you know, make sure I got everything, because I'm going to leave Sweden without, like, 10 hours, then I will be traveling to US again. So I got basically 1 week now left here. So my summer schedule for Millie is going to be low tier city. And after that, it's going to be Evo. And then it's going to be SmashCon. And then it's going to be Air. So I will be in US 3 weeks, and then we are going to Air, which is in England. And then I guess it will be some time before I'm coming back to US. But then I have been traveling for, and Adam, he has been traveling for 5 weeks. So it's a little bit hard to travel that much. Like, you get exhausted along the way.
Yeah, I mean, the after Smash and Splash was Ultimate, and you got to go back to Sweden, but Adam had been in the U.S. had been traveling, because he was in, what, Australia before Smash and Splash?
Yeah. He was, so he were in Australia and compete at a tournament called BAM, and he beat Shudad. And then he had a 1 week vacation with his girlfriend, so there was sightseeing and had a good time there. And then he traveled to US, but they crossed Europe, so he went back to Sweden basically, and like that was where we met up. So I was waiting for my plane, and I could see Adam. And then he has already been traveling for like 30 hours. And it was like, yep, like we're halfway through now. Let's go. Or for me, it was the start, but for him, it was like. But yeah, so after Smash and Splash, he went to Nintendo Invitational, and that was when I had this tournament, or where I went to this tournament in Gothenburg. And when he got back that week later, we were at DreamHack. And for me, I have been at three tournaments. But yeah, Smash Ultimate, the Invitational one, was a sort of a tournament that he hasn't really been practicing or...
Right.
But it was still like, I guess, still be away and traveling and stuff. You're getting exhausted along the way. It's...
Oh, sure.
Whatever you like it or not, you will be.
No, I can only imagine. It's, I mean, for me, I have to travel just across the U.S. to go to get to California, and I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine having to travel across the world on a relatively regular basis.
Yeah, we go every now and then, and for me, I still enjoy it. It takes some time. It does. I've been traveling for like 24 hours, but then it's among the longest. But I think the whole thing of like going to US, now it's getting more familiar with like the whole thing. I remember the first time when I got there, it was like a whole different world. Like,
oh, yeah.
Even though there were still people, it was like now no one would speak Swedish, now we have to speak English the entire time. The money were different, people's way of thinking and attitude and designs, everything was different. Like, you could pay so much attention to all the different, you had to pay attention to so much thing because everything was different. Even the slightest thing were also different. So, but now, after getting used to it and been traveling for like 2 years, it's pretty fun. I still do enjoy it, to travel to US, even though it takes some time. It's a fun thing.
Sure. What's your favorite? Where's your favorite place in the US?
I feel like I haven't been in too many states, but I gotta say that I do enjoy Cali. I also do like Texas and Michigan. I think those are my three favorites in some orders.
Yeah. No, California is just... I mean, California is a different country than the rest of the United States. It's so strange.
Yeah, I've been in some other states, but I think those are my favorites. And I heard that comment that Cali seems to be a little bit on their own compared to the other states.
Yeah.
But I'm a Swede, so what should I know?
Yeah. No, it's... I mean, the way that people like to describe it is, if California was its own country, it would be the sixth biggest economy in the world.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. California, it is its own little world, California. But California is great. I've heard nothing but good things about Texas. I've never actually been, unfortunately. Did you ever go to like MomoCon or anything in Atlanta?
No, I haven't.
Atlanta is a really cool city too. It can be a little grungy though. But it's a really nice city.
Yeah. No, I know some people from Cali. When I have been talking to them, obviously Sweden and Cali would be a thing to talk about. A topic that we would go through one way or another, and it always ends up somehow, even though they're like, make some jokes about it. I guess they always talk about how great Cali is. I should move there because Cali is amazing. So from what I heard, Cali Yeah, it seems to be 10 out of 10 for those people.
Yeah, yeah. No, Callie's. And, you know, when y'all are in town for Genesis, I'm assuming you'll come a few days early. Well, we can basically do the exact same thing again, but in person, I'll buy all of us some beers. It'd be great. We can talk about Cali some more.
That would be awesome. Yeah, but we always, so our travels are always, so when we travel to US, we always try to be there for like at least a week. Sometimes I guess it can be a little better, like a few days extra, but we usually try to be in US on Monday if the tournaments are on Friday. So we're trying to get used to the jet lag and stuff. Or if we have jet lag, then we hope that we will not have jet lag when it's time for the tournament. But yeah, it's easier, at least for us, to get used to the time zone within US. But going back to Europe seems to be a little bit problem for me. But because it's nothing really to worry about once I get home, then that is cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
It would have been worse if it was the other way around. But fortunately, it's it is how it is, I guess.
Jet lag usually messes with me, but I've learned to do, because the only time I ever have serious jet lag is if I'm flying to India or from India, and they're about 12 and a half hours off. And so what I will do is just stay up the entire night, the entire day, and then I'll have a 12-hour layover somewhere, and I'll just be sitting in the airport really grumpy and really tired. But if I wait, the entire flight back is at night in America, and it corrects my sleep schedule.
I see. Yeah. Now, when we're traveling, we always calculate with like when we're supposed to leave, what the time will be when we get there, how long we're supposed to stay awake, when we are flying to US or back to Europe, how long are we supposed to sleep until we have to wake up, if that's the case. So we always have those things. We have already made sure that wherever we go, we always check. So we have everything we got, and we make sure the sleep schedule is on time. And it works just fine for us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you guys have gotten used to it over time. I'm guessing at the start when you just started coming to the US, I'm sure the jet lag was worse.
Actually, no. Well, one of the few times, one of the very first time, I would say it was a little bit tricky, but it was nothing really. But like, I guess you could feel the jet lag, but it didn't really bother too much. But going to US had actually never been too big of a problem. If anything, it has been like pretty bad when I got back to Sweden, I guess.
Yeah.
That has been, that could be an issue. And it's like 35, 40% of risk that I'm getting jet lag when I get back, I guess. But yeah, as long as I'm not jet lag when I'm going to US, then I guess it's cool if I'm just live when I get back.
Yeah. Well.
But we always have those things as well. I mentioned, friend, that we always stay up. So we sleep kind of like late on the day, and then we stay up the whole day and the night, and then we are leaving during the night / morning to the airport. We stay awake our first flight, which is usually like 2 hours tops before we arrived. Usually like 1 hour before our flight to US, and then it's like noon-ish for us, and then we're sleeping. And at that point, we are so tired, we fall asleep immediately.
God. So I'm someone, I have problems falling asleep. When I was working for Smash and Splash, those nights, even the night that I get into my room and fucking Jason is just in my bed for whatever goddamn reason, just open the door. D, why is he in my bed? Tell him to go home. I don't want him here. Even that night, I just got in bed, crashed.
I see. Well, yeah, I think, did he find his room, or?
Oh, did I not tell you? So he said
didn't he have a room right next?
Yes. He's like, the only reason he was in my bed is he said his room was too far. His room was two doors down.
Yeah, that's too far, dude. That's
just like way too far. When Disciple realized, Disciple wanted to punch him in the face. Like,
damn.
God.
Yeah. No comments. Actually, no comments.
Drunk Jason on Sunday night made it all better. Watching him drag Omst by the hair.
Oh yeah, I remember.
just I don't remember what he said. He just grabbed Omst's hair and just yelled, "I'm running for it."
Oh god, no. I think he photobombed us as well. Like there was someone who were trying, she wanted to have a selfie.
I mean, do you want that picture? I have that picture.
No, it's okay. It was like the perfect timing.
You guys, it's you and Adam and this girl looking like just mortified and a blur, and you can kind of tell out Jason's face.
It's amazing. Though it was a pretty fun night.
I feel like that needs to just be a thing on Twitter, just available for people to use. Like, just remember, Jason's a goon. So,
yeah.
In terms of Melee, outside of this summer, what do you have going on? What are your future plans? Do you think you're gonna maybe pick up Ultimate when it comes out?
So, for me, I feel like at the moment, I want to play Melee as it is, and I'm thinking I'll keep doing that. When it comes to Ultimate, however, I'm not sure. I will try the game out after I've been watching when some of the Smashers were playing at the Invitational. I saw some stuff that I did like and some stuff I didn't like as much. But I will give it a chance. We will see about that. I guess if I would play the game, I would most likely main Wolf, I believe.
Hell yeah.
The thing is, it seems like Wolf is a popular character for most people, so we will see if it's like everyone is going to play Wolf, like everyone is playing Fox.
Yeah.
But we will see about it. It's still like 60 characters at least. I think it's like 63 characters at this point.
Yeah, I think it's 64 if you count the Echo characters.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, so it's a bunch of characters still. But it's actually a cool thing with like having all the characters back again. And the stages, we'll see how they pull. But I think it's going to be a cool game regardless.
Oh yeah, I'm excited. It should be fun. It should spice things up a little bit. And
yeah, you know, that's
going back to Genesis. Genesis is going to be the first Ultimate tournament, so that'll be fun.
No, I think grass, don't park on the grass, will be the first one. Because that will be like the week after Ultimate will get released.
Are they? Oh, shoot.
I'm pretty sure I saw something. I'm pretty sure they were promoted, like, marketed that way.
They are running Smash Ultimate.
So we'll see about like how it's gonna turn out. But I want to give it an honest shot. I don't have a Switch at the moment, but I'm thinking of playing games such as Let's Go Pikachu and have the Ultimate. I will see other games that I might buy, but those two games are something I want to have for sure.
Oh yeah, I mean I only have ARMS and Super Mario Odyssey, and there are so many games that I just need to get, but I not right now. Gotta wait. Gotta save that money.
Yeah, that's a. So I don't have a Switch. I'm planning on getting around the time the Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu gets released. I think of other games such as maybe Metroid, or maybe I know Mario Kart had been released for it got released for a long time now, like a year, maybe 1.5 year ago. But yeah. It's such a cool game. And Odyssey seems to be a fun game as well. So there seems to be a couple of games that would be cool to test it out.
And Mango says that Mario Kart 8 is his favorite game of all times.
I've heard of it. Yeah, he seems to be Ace fan. Or Mario Kart, met in my life.
Gosh. I love it. Well, thank you so much, dude. I gotta boogie. I gotta take care of something at work. But I will keep in touch.
Okay, that's.
What's up?
Yeah, that's a I enjoy. I hope. You got everything you needed. Not too much misspelled stuff or something like that.
Nah. I think I got everything because. Recording the audio so I can go back. I'm going to transcribe the audio. I will be able to read it on my end. It'll be good. But, you know, we got to talk about some pretty cool stuff in terms of, especially I think the brother dynamic is always an interesting thing to talk about, especially because that is very much something that I personally deal with, like just always comparing myself to my brother and, you know, what that means to me. So it's a different take coming from someone whose brother is literally considered the greatest. Like
all time, yeah.
Yeah. So thanks, man. I will just keep in touch in terms of what I'm writing. Before I publish, I'll link it to you so you can read through it. But thanks again.
Thanks. You too, dude.
All right. See you, Andreas.
See ya.
You know.